flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Now they're going to come back in and been sitting there a little while and going to be asked to help close the deal here.
Caleb Martin closing the deal on his own. 7 threes in the game. A career high for him, 23 points. Martin will inbound. Finds Maxey. Maxey fumbled it, still gathered and scored. A huge basket by Tyrese Maxey, 31 points now. Philadelphia's best win with this new nucleus of Maxey and Bea and Paul George. They beat the Celtics in Boston on Christmas, 118-114.
We got to take some ownership. We got to be better. We got to acknowledge the things that we've done not so great. We got to look in the mirror and man up, and we just got to be better.
KJ and Lyons in for Jones and Keefe. Happy holidays. I guess we can get away from Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for being here on WEEI, 617-779-7937. That's also the text line. John, you know, we've kind of joked that, like, the NBA season doesn't start really until Christmas Day. Maybe now the conversation about are the Celtics vulnerable coming off of 2 losses in a row. You like the 76ers on paper when the season started. I started laughing at them. But now after watching yesterday's game, I'm thinking this could be the most dangerous piece of kryptonite if the 76ers are like a 7 or 8 seed facing the Celtics as a 1-2 seed to open the playoffs. Are you concerned that some of these teams are starting to figure out the weakness of the Celtics, which is size?
So a little bit, but my concern more is this was another game, KJ, yesterday where they didn't have their starting five yet again, right? Drew Holiday was out. Porzingis left the game at halftime. Because you and I said this in August. We said it in September. We said it in October. And I think we were correct that the biggest thing to stand in the Celtics' way this year was going to be health. And right now, what we're 2.5 months into the season now, whatever it is, and health has continued to be a problem. Porzingis didn't come back till November 25th, but that was a little early. We knew that he was going to be out a while, but even since he's come back, I mean, that game they lost in Cleveland, remember, they didn't have Brown or White. They've had other games without Tatum. Orlando the other night, they didn't have Tatum at the last minute. Now they don't have Porzingis again for the second half. They don't have Holiday for the game. So that's my bigger concern. I mean, the Caleb Martin thing gave me some PTSD from the 2023
Miami,
conference
right?
finals,
yeah.
right? But I still look at Philly, and I said before the season I thought they were the biggest threat to the Celtics in the East, and I looked like a real idiot for the first 2 months of the season. But yesterday, is kind of what I had envisioned, where you had an MVP-level big in Embiid, an all-NBA player in Maxey at guard, Paul George, who's still maybe not the Paul George of 3, 4, 5 years ago, but still a good player. And then if they get some sort of contribution from just a role player, and in this case it was Caleb Martin, and they got Yabusele, old friend, 12 points off the bench from him.
Thick Mahorn.
Right. They can hang with the Celtics. Like, again, I don't want to be hyperbolic. I'd still pick the Celtics to win a series against the Sixers. I still think they're the best team in the East. But it's just, again, what do we have this year? 3, 4 games with their full starting five, and that's all we've had this year?
So what I got away from yesterday's game was, like, okay, could Philly beat the Celtics in a 7-game series? I couldn't really wrap my mind around that. But if you've got three different guys who can drop 30 for you, there's where my concern is. Maybe like, okay, this is one of those series that, hey, if Maxey goes off this night, Paul George goes off another night, and then Embiid goes off for another night. That's where you have an issue with the Celtics. I think that's the issue that the Celtics have is, do you go up against a team where three guys can do this? If you said this was Cleveland, you say it's probably going to be Donovan Mitchell and nobody's really going to allow for that many shots to go off for someone to go off for 30. If you said it was New York, you probably say it's probably Karl Anthony Towns, and you would wonder where was, you know, Jalen Brunson in the mix of things. But with Philadelphia, which a team I thought was dead in the water and it would be too much to come back from, it reminds me kind of a bit of what I was thinking about the Astros last year. Like, oh man, they've lost too many games to start the season. There's no way they'll catch up. And the next thing you know, you're like, they're the favorite to kind of win. Again, the injuries with the Celtics, I got to keep my eye on the Porzingis portion of it, because if it comes a minutes restriction thing, I think the conversation is, okay, Celtics, don't worry about being the number one seed. Worry about being healthy, getting into the playoffs, and win on the road because you can do that, versus trying to chase that, you know, that carrot, if you will, if you're the rabbit, trying to be the number one seed. This isn't like football and you've got an outdoor stadium in a cold place. The NBA is one of those situations, not as diabolical as hockey can be with these away and home teams. But if you're the Celtics, you feel like, you know, it doesn't matter whether you have to go on the road to win the championship. You feel okay with that. But what I don't feel okay about is like, okay, Porzingis has just been back for less. He hasn't been back for a full month. And it looks like we now have to start bringing back some of the bubble wrap again. So I do wonder where the Celtics We'll start to move forward. Now you say, okay, if the injury bug is starting to creep its way around, do you go get a league veteran minimum guy in there with a bit of experience to come in and say, all right, here's where some gaps can be filled in, so that way there isn't as much tug and pull on the minutes for the stars of the team, which are really your starting five.
And I was a little surprised in this game yesterday, especially once Porzingis got hurt. Xavier Tillman did not play, coach's decision. I mean, Cornette and Kata played quite a bit. Cornette 20 minutes, Kata 8. But I thought Tillman, especially once Porzingis went out, might get some minutes in this game. And he might be a guy, to your point, that if they have to limit Porzingis' minutes going forward, he would be a guy. And I would even go back to that Orlando game the other night, because I think these games have a lot in common, where right. Orlando, of course, they were shorthanded, the Sixers weren't, but that's a big, tough, physical team. Didn't have Wagner, didn't have Banchero, still beat the Celtics, and I think if you get into a playoff series, especially if you have back-to-back series in the playoffs against Orlando and Philly, or Philly-Orlando, whatever order it comes in, that would be, I think, really, again, I think the Celtics would win both of those series, but it would take a lot out of them, especially if, again, this Porzingis thing, you mentioned a month back, he came back November 25th. The 1 month anniversary of him being back was yesterday, and he's already had a couple little small injuries in that month, including yesterday. So
we even thought that it wouldn't be until Christmas or maybe first of the year.
Right. That was kind of the original prognosis, was mid to late December. And he came back early and he looked good. But again, he leaves that game at halftime, and maybe they're just being extra cautious. I get it. That's why, like I said at the beginning, I don't want to be hyperbolic. I still think they're the best team in the East. But, I mean, they already have, I think, the same amount or one more home loss than they did all of last year. So they have been a little bit more vulnerable this year. I think health has the biggest thing to do with it more than anything else. But when you combine concerns about health with a team as big as a team like Philly or Orlando the other night, it does give them some problems.
And if I have to see Caleb Martin shoot another 7 for 9 from 3
Off of the glass, no less, right? You know, so here's what's fascinating that I see happening with the Celtics and the teams around the league and how they're handling the Celtics. I think teams are saying, let these guys try and jump shot their way through the game. And then those balls don't fall. You remember, you've heard me talk about this, John. Then when these guys start to go to the hole, they're not getting the calls. So when you see that, you saw that in the third quarter where you're like, okay, these guys are now finally going to the basket. They are not getting the calls because they're not doing this to start off the games. At some point, you feel like the Celtics are going to have to show some type of physical aggression to the paint early in the game, because if you're going to get the, if you're hoping to get those calls later in the game, you can't just start going to the hole because your three-point shots aren't dropping. And I think teams are like, if we can get the Celtics uncomfortable with those outside shots and then try and force their way to the paint, there is going to be a little bit of advantage where they're not going to get the calls. Because I don't know about you, John, but it feels like some games the Celtics just haven't been getting the obvious calls. But then when I look back, like, okay, maybe they're not getting these obvious calls late in the game because earlier in the game, they're busy taking the 25-foot jump shots from three, and the refs are saying, okay, you're now trying to put the whistle, you're trying to put the decision of the game on us later when early on you weren't even doing these things. So I think size, and then if the Celtics, you know, jump shot isn't falling from outside, those are the two recipes, and then throw in the injury as well, because if you don't have a Jrue Holiday, you probably say Tyrese Maxey is contained a little bit more. Derek White's dealing with a hamstring injury coming into the game, so the backcourt's going to be able to thrive, and that was really the story of yesterday's game, is that there was no answer for Tyrese Maxey. I mean, my goodness, what is that, 1.1 left on the shot clock, up from 0.8, and you're like, okay, like there's no way Tyrese Maxey should be going to the hole, and that's a two-pronged thing. Who's the person defending him on the inbound? And the rim protection's not there because Porzingis is out of the game.
And I also think the last two nights, you know, against Orlando and Philly, they haven't played as well defensively. I mean, the 118 points against Philly speaks for itself. It's a lot. And you and I talked about the Celtics' fourth quarter defense, some of their issues on Monday. I talked about a little bit with Dan Ball on Tuesday as well. But like Philly yesterday only had six turnovers, KJ. That's the fewest turnovers they've had in a game all year. And some of that's a credit to them, but some of it's the Celtics' defense was not as good yesterday. Meanwhile, the Celtics have 19 turnovers against Orlando, 13 against Philly yesterday, and they missed five free throws yesterday against Philly. Like some of these basic things, they've been struggling a little bit, which when they won the championship last year, the three-point shot was a huge, huge part of it. They also were top three in defensive rating and net rating as well. They played really good defense. They could shoot free throws well. They didn't turn the ball over for most of the playoffs, really. I mean, they had a couple games here and there. I mean, even remember banner night against the Knicks, we were here. The biggest stat from that night wasn't the one banner raise. It was the fact that they had like three turnovers that night. I mean, those little things that they've done so well over the last 12 months, this last week or so, especially these last couple games, they just haven't done as well.
It feels like when Joe Mazzulla took over the team, remember how the team wasn't playing defense as aggressively as they were
Malcolm
under MA?
Brogdon came out and said that too.
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, that's when I came up with the term the 120 Celtics. Like, they just want to always put 120 on the board. And if it gets into these battle games, and I was like, look, the Celtics are always best when they can hold their opponents to about 27 points per quarter. But you start seeing these leaks of 35 and 40 in different games and so forth. And maybe this is just one of those situations where, okay, they needed some type of actualization, because have we talked about the Celtics losing two in a row this year?
No, they haven't. This is the first time year they've lost two in a row.
So we're really talking about a team that's really facing any type of game-to-game adversity. Because the joke was going to be like, you know, the joke was like, how do you talk bad about something that's going on with a team that's so good? But then if you see two similar things, and I'll tell you this, I thought that this Christmas game was going to be kind of one of those walkovers because of the way that Philadelphia was early in the year. But they come in after yesterday, they won seven of their last 10. They're inching into that ninth. Think about it. They're now close to ninth, eighth in the East because it's that bad. But would you be concerned? If Philly and the Celtics were an opening series round based on what you saw yesterday, what does that series go to? How many games?
I think six, potentially seven, but I lean six. I mean, it's a hell of a lot harder than the opening round against Miami last year, tell you that. I think it would be a really difficult opening round series. And you mentioned Philly kind of creeping in that ninth, eighth seed area here at 11-17. I'm not going to be surprised if Philly ends up as like a 5 or a 6 seed by the time the season ends. I mean, they have the talent to get there.
The East is so bad, yeah.
The East is so bad. They have the talent to get there. And you, I thought, I know it's a different sport, but I thought you made a great, you know, comparison with that Houston Astros team that was 10-19 in May or whatever it was. And then, of course, they end up being a World Series contender when it's all said and done. I could see the 76ers getting to a point where they're a 5 or a 6 seed by the time it's all said and done, and we're sitting here in April.
All right, KJ and Lyons in for Jones and Keith, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937, still to come, Professor Lyons. That's about 30 minutes away, but right now it's Trend with Joe Braverman.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. For the first time this season, the Celtics suffered their second straight loss yesterday to the Philadelphia 76ers. 118-114, your final score. This is their third loss in the last four games. Tyrese Maxey led all scorers with 33 points and 12 assists. Joel Embiid finished with 27-9 rebounds. And noted Celtics killer Caleb Martin scored 23 points on 7 of 9 shooting from three. Jason Tatum led Boston with 32-15. Kristaps Porzingis left after halftime with what's being called left ankle soreness. Next up for the Seas will be a home matchup with the Pacers tomorrow night. In other news from the NBA from Christmas, Luka Doncic could be out for an extended period of time for the Mavericks after leaving with a calf strain in their loss to the Timberwolves. And Shams Charania of ESPN reports that Jimmy Butler would prefer a trade from the Miami Heat before the trade deadline on February 6th. The Chiefs wrapped up the AFC's number one seed and a first-round bye with a 29-10 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers, while the Ravens capitalized and took the lead in the AFC North with a 31-2 win in Houston over the Texans. And meanwhile, the Patriots are back at practice after having the holiday off yesterday. Yesterday's injury report was an estimated player's participation. Jamichael Hasty was a full participant. Jabril Peppers, Jelani Tavai, Cole Strange, and Caden Wallace were limited. Ben Brown, Kyle Duggar, and Marcus Jones were DNPs. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Begin the fourth quarter, they don't have Embiid or George, and you have Tatum and Brown. What happened in those minutes? You seem like you guys just couldn't get anything together.
Yeah, I mean, just didn't have great offensive rhythm. Just didn't have great defensive execution. So, listen, you know, we're playing inconsistent basketball. So, we got to be better at both ends of the floor. Got to be more consistent at both ends of the floor.
KJ Lyons in for Jones and Keefe on WEEI, 617-779-7937. That's also the text line. That is Joe Mazzulla just saying, look, the offense wasn't there. You know, it's interesting, John. Last year at this time, I think the conversation about the Celtics was a bit different, right? They beat the Lakers on Christmas Day. They're on the West Coast swing. But there's only really like a difference of one game in the win column and two games in the loss column from last year. But yet it feels like maybe because Cleveland starting at 15-0 and since then is what, 11-4? So you would say like Cleveland's downstroke has been like since they were 15-0 and that first loss to the Celtics, but they've only lost three games since then. I think at the time when the Celtics beat Cleveland, I think the Celtics only had two losses. So I do wonder if, and I wouldn't be upset with this if this is the approach, right? Nobody, well, except for LeBron James and Giannis, well, Giannis has one as well, who cares about winning a regular season title, right? Isn't it all about winning the NBA championship? And if you're the Celtics, sure, you're four games behind Cleveland. You're not, there's probably a chance you're not going to be the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. But you do get concerned if you find yourself in the 3, maybe 4 spot. Would you not be? Like the Knicks are only two games behind the Celtics. So are the Celtics in a little more trouble if they find themselves of, say, the 3 or 4 seed?
So I think part of this, too, is how the Celtics have looked lately. Because if you remember last year, you mentioned at Christmas Day they beat the Lakers. But remember right around that time, they had blown out the Clippers, blown out the Kings.
Right.
They had lost that close game, I think, to Golden
Overtime
State.
Overtime to Golden State, right.
But they had bounced back from it, and they had played pretty well after. Whereas in the last week, they've lost to Chicago, Orlando, and Philly. And I know they had that Bulls win mixed in between. But in those three losses, they had a lead or were tied in all three of them, and their net rating, though, -28.4, which is the opposite, really, of what we've seen from the Celtics over the last few years. And I bring that up to say this, is last year, remember when they lost those back-to-back games in Atlanta
right.
in, like, February or March? Like, that was the one time we were like, oh, maybe there's some concern here. Can they bounce back? And they did. And they were fine. And I think that stretch last year against Atlanta.
That's when I joked that Atlanta can be a very distracting place to young and single men. Right?
It certainly was. And I think we're kind of experiencing something like that now. Right? Like, so right now, again, Chicago is not a good team, but Orlando and Philly, I think Orlando's legitimately good. And I think Philly is good. They just had a bad start. But you lost to all three of those teams. You had trouble executing down the stretch.
Right.
They outfit, especially Orlando, was more physical than you in that game. So, look, I think if you look at, could they be a 3 seed, a 4 seed? I still think this is the 2 seed in the East at worst. Maybe even they'll catch up and get to be the 1 seed. So I'm not overly concerned, but I think it's Joe Mazzulla's right. Like, they're not playing well. I mean, look how well they played against the Bulls in that win. Tatum's 40-point triple-double. And juxtaposition that with how they played in the Chicago game before and the Orlando game right after.
Well, I think part of the narrative that's also going on is at the start of the season, it was like how bad the Eastern Conference is. And what's absolutely crazy, teams 1 through 8, only the Celtics have a losing streak going on right now. Cavs have won 5, Knicks have won 5 straight, Magic and Bucks have won a couple in a row, Pacers have won 5 in a row, and you get the Pacers tomorrow night. So you do wonder, are these teams starting to get hot around them as the Celtics are trying to figure some things out injury-wise, possession-wise, offensive-wise, like you mentioned with Joe Mazzulla just mentioning there, where, okay, these teams are starting to hit their stride right at Christmas, and the Celtics are starting to struggle right at Christmas. Again, at the end of the day, the Celtics are the most proven team outside of probably the Bucks in this entire group, right? The Bucks are the one team that I would say watch
out
for. They've
won it before. Giannis is legit. Yeah.
Giannis is still there. He's in the MVP conversation. They do have the ability to potentially make a move. I think what Jimmy Butler ultimately does or ultimately goes where he goes plays a big factor, where we've talked about, oh, man, the West is so tight. And, yeah, it is. But, I mean, the Thunder are starting to really pull away. And then the Rockets have really been the story over in the West, the Grizzlies as well. What the Mavs got going now with losing Luka potentially for an extended amount of time and the Nuggets starting to turn around. Those are really your top 5 teams. You're thinking that, okay, those are the real ones, where in the East, everybody's been talking about it's going to be only the Celtics. So maybe we're looking at the Celtics having to earn their keep a little bit more than what we probably expected as the season started with some of these teams. I thought the Knicks would be in the mix, but I didn't think the Knicks would end up being a great 3-point shooting team, and that's what they are. So some of these teams are developing identities while the Celtics are trying to, all they really had to do is just maintain their identity. They've brought all their people back. We're not discussing about like, oh man, they missed this person gone. Everybody's still here. But now these little small injury bugs are starting to pop up. I am really concerned about Porzingis because, and you've heard me say this before when we've done shows here, is anytime you got a big man who has feet problems, whether it's an ankle or a toe or a heel, all that contributes to just the overall foot just not being in complete 100%. And if this team doesn't have Porzingis, it doesn't really have the rim protection it needs. And you saw how unstoppable Embiid can be once he gets going yesterday. That is my concern.
Yeah, and last year the Celtics were so dominant. One of my favorite stats about them was they were top 3 in offensive rating, defensive rating, and net rating, right? They did everything well last year. It was like that Lego song, Everything is Awesome. I know, KJ, your favorite song, right? But
I've never watched the Lego movie. Am I weird?
Right, you look at it. So they haven't sucked defensively, but their defensive rating is eighth. So it's kind of lower than what we're used to with the Celtics. You look at the last couple games, they had the 36-point third quarter allowed to Orlando, then 29 in the fourth. Philly comes out and scores 66 points in the first half. Then the Celtics have that great third quarter yesterday, but then Philly scores 36 in the fourth. So, like, they're, yes, the health has been an issue. I get it. Their threes have been a little bit cold, like Peyton Pritchard 0 for 8 from 3 yesterday. But I think defensively, especially over the last week, week and a half or so, they have not been nearly as active, nearly as tenacious as they were last year, even as they were earlier in this year. And maybe it's a midseason malaise type thing where, you know, they know how good they are. Kind of reminds me of those Cleveland Cavaliers teams with LeBron, where the Atlanta Hawks would win 66 games, get the one seed, but you knew that Cleveland was going to beat them in a series, no problem. But also, I think the health and maybe a little bit of the focus is an issue here, because, like, should you really be losing 3 out of 4 games to Chicago, you know, Orlando? Feel like
this is not a rivalry. Pretty bad. They always kick our ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me if you noticed this. You remember there might have been about a minute left in the game yesterday, and I don't want to put words in Embiid's mouth, but it seemed like he had mouthed something like, "Go home, you something," to the fans. And I had my own thought of what he might have said. I'm not going to say it over the air because then it becomes a total ish storm. But I thought he said something that was very, very derogative to the fans, calling them a particular name, which doesn't fly well here. And then
remember the three-pointer, and then he mocked flipping the bird. He didn't actually, but he just did the thing where he hit the arm, and it's just like,
yeah, with the fungal, you know, that type of thing. Look, that's in the heat of the game. But it seemed like he had turned his head. I think he'd be shooting free throws. There's probably about a minute and 3:15 left in the game. And he says, "Go home, you something. I'm not going to fill in the blank." But I wonder if there was someone who was within earshot that actually heard what I thought he said. It was never addressed on television because I think it was in the heat of the moment. I just pay attention to these things. And I do wonder if... I'll be careful with that, but I think Embiid kind of flamed a little more of the fire. And I think because if the Celtics didn't make a run towards the end of the game, I think that kind of changed the narrative. But I wonder. Well,
that was weird, too, in that the Celtics were down 16 points in the second quarter.
Right.
They come all the way back. They're, you know, in the lead, and it's, you know, back and forth. And then next thing you know, they're down 14 with like 5 minutes or whatever it was to go. And you're like, damn. And then they make another run. It gets close. Then it's just, again, it felt like they had it in spurts yesterday, but not for 48 minutes. And that's really been kind of the issue over the last couple weeks. That Chicago game, the Orlando game, they had a 15-point lead at halftime. And then they fell off completely in that third quarter. So it feels like, to Joe Mazzulla's point, they've been really inconsistent. They've had it in spurts, but they just have not had, 66 points in the first half to Philly, coming off allowing 36 points in the third quarter to Orlando a couple nights before. I mean, that's just really, frank, that's not what we're used to around here, regardless of who's been healthy or not for the Celtics over the last year plus.
Well, I think teams are saying, let's get physical on the Celtics team, especially if they're going to want to take these jump shots and they're not falling. We know they're going to try and run to the rim and try and get their baskets that way. And when they do... let's just make it very tough for them. And when you find yourself in that situation, and then you're starting to try and take the long threes or the three shot later in the game, your legs are going to be affected. Your body's going to be affected. Your hips are going to be affected because guys are going at you. And I think that is the playbook that some of these teams are saying, you know, if you can get the Celtics to get frustrated with their outside shot not falling, they're going to come to the paint. And when they do, just make it rough and tough for them because they'll try and go back to that three to catch up, but their bodies and their legs won't be there. All right, so John, let's get to some of this Christmas stuff, man. How did your Christmas go?
You know, not bad. I had a good time at the in-laws.
Wait,
on Christmas.
Not bad? You say not, yeah, bad? Like, is that on the better side of good, or is that above, like, subpar?
No, in a good way, because the Celtics lost, so couldn't be a great Christmas.
I'm not talking, so really, no, like, a game would affect how your Christmas day goes?
No, good time at the in-laws, Christmas Eve, good time yesterday with the family on Christmas, so got some good gifts, gave out some good gifts, just enjoyed everyone's company.
Wait, you
great
graded,
dinner as
what,
well.
You gave yourself a grade on the gifts you gave?
No, I just felt good about the ones I gave, that's all. You know, I take pride, KJ, as you know.
A bit of conceit. Like,
I take pride in my work, so I take in everything. Here at EEI, giving gifts to family.
Do you sit back and smile as you look at someone open the gift you gave you? You gave them.
If I think it's a good one,
Oh my gosh! Not really. A bit of narcissism there, huh?
Well, no, it's just a bit of caring about people and want them to have a good gift.
So Christmas was crazy for two straight years. So last year Christmas Eve, I don't know if you remember this, but the daughter ended up in ER last.
Yes, I do. I forgot about that. But now
so last year she was in the ER. What happens? We get up Christmas Eve. I need to go to the hospital. I was like, you know what? To hell with this. We're not doing this two straight years. So I don't know what. It's funny. If you drive around Christmas Day, because now getting to Christmas Day, it felt like it was COVID all over again because there's like nobody really out on the roads, but everybody congregated at your local pharmacy, right? Like it's like if the pharmacy, like, God, if the world ended, would everybody just.
Or Dunkin' Donuts.
Or Dunkin', right? Like, would they end up at Dunk's or would they end up at your local pharmacy if the world ended? So there I am picking up my child's medicine. I'm buying more Pedialyte. She can't do the cough drops because, you know, when you have kids with, you know, like special needs like cerebral palsy, their muscle situation. So you can't necessarily trust them with the cough drop or she'll eat the cough. So I'm like finding it's 101 degree temperature.
Jeez.
Christmas Eve into Christmas Day. Don't get to the family Christmas dinner. We're not able to make it. And the person who was responsible to bring back like Christmas dinner plates decided to do those plates after everybody ate. So
you got the scraps.
Oh my gosh. I said, I am so hungry. My stomach was ready to eat my back. That's how hungry I was, but appreciative that my daughter did not end up in ER for a second straight year. Like that was my only Christmas wish. So I don't even remember what I got for Christmas. Like that's how like intense it was. Like, I was like, I just don't. But Gable to watch the games, but hearing coughing in the next room and stuff like that. So, did you see Beyonce at halftime yesterday?
No, I did not watch the NFL games. And you know me, I'm Mr. Football, but I actually stuck to the NBA yesterday.
You went hardcore, I'm going to be a Christmas Day NBA guy?
You were an Andy Hart boycott on the Netflix games?
Well, also, like, so we went to my parents' house, and they have
10-year-old boys.
They have Netflix. But it was like, we're all kind of the family hanging out. So I didn't want to hassle through and set it up and get it going. I was like, I'll just put on ABC with the NBA games and hang out with the families.
You don't have the little button that just says Netflix on the TV?
No, they do. Because they have it through their TV. So I have my streaming services through my Xbox. They have it through their TV, but they have like an older remote. So not that they can't. They know how to do it, but they're cooking. They're talking to people. So I was like, I'm not going to bother.
I mean, because it was
perfect. And I don't like the fact that there was
NFL. Look, it was perfectly as the Celtics went to halftime, Beyonce then took the stage. So, look, the football games, they really weren't super special. The Celtics game yesterday was the best game. I thought, I didn't even stay up.
The NBA games are actually, did you watch Golden State versus the Lakers?
I went to sleep because I had to BetQL this morning. Oh, so, this is my second show today before 11 a.m. But I was just like, you know what? The Lakers, Golden State, it's going to be what it's going to be. I need to go to sleep. Like, don't laugh at me, but like maybe because I'm such a Celtics homer, I'm like, I could care less about the Lakers and the Warriors. I'm just going to watch old episodes of Knott's Landing just to put myself to sleep.
I watched it because, I thought the NBA games yesterday as a whole, maybe the best day of NBA basketball, not just all this season, but last season as well. It was a really good day of basketball yesterday. But it's interesting. I want to see the numbers. How well did Netflix? How well are they going to claim that they did? Because you know, with Netflix, they can kind of say however many people watched it that they want to or use
based
whatever
on their subscribers.
Yeah, right. But I want to see how well did they do compared to the NBA, because I think NBA traditionally has been a Christmas thing. Yesterday's NBA games in particular I thought were terrific, but as we know, the NFL is the NFL, and pretty much any day they're on, it's big ratings. So I'm really interested to see how those ratings are going to line up. And I did hear that some folks with the Netflix thing had trouble with, you know, if they signed on late, they couldn't pick it up live. They had to kind of pick it up from the beginning, and they had some trouble.
That's funny, because if you switch back and forth like I did for a little bit, I remember I came back, they were like, yeah, kickoff is in 28 minutes. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's 2 minutes to one. Oh, it automatically keeps you back to where you are. So now clearly the whole Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight was a test to see how much they could take in terms of real-time live. But back to the NBA, because that's what we've been talking about. I think the NBA, and this is what kind of upsets me about how the NBA does the Celtics. The Celtics should have been a primetime game. It really should have been, because they're the defending champions. And plus, they wouldn't have gone up against any of the football games. By the time the Lakers and Warriors played, football was over. So what you're probably going to see is the Lakers and the Warriors are going to have the best numbers in terms of the televised games. I think the worst are going to be San Antonio and the Knicks game. I think that's going to be the worst one, followed by the Phoenix-Denver game, because I like who was awake for were
well,
you
and
awake
I think
for
to
that?
Your point, though, because we've talked about this before, because the NBA ratings down from 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
One of the issues is guys like Stephen LeBron, these all-time great players, these Hall of Famers, these stars, are starting to age out. And they're kind of in a place where, say, baseball was 10 years ago, where you had one wave of stars retiring and the other not quite there yet. You could have had Celtics and 76ers last night at 8, and then that would have been a great spotlight for Tatum, Brown, and Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, who's, what, 22? Like, that would have been a really good... Because you know that if you put LeBron and Steph on at any time, they're going to draw ratings.
He has to do that. Man.
So
it's good for the ratings.
You could have had them earlier, had the Celtics later. Maybe that would have helped with exposure a little bit for those guys.
Well, the flip side of that is, if the Celtics are the defending champion and you want to make sure that you have the West Coast viewership, you know, 6 o'clock Pacific time, then why not have the Celtics at the Warriors, right?
Because that would have been fun.
That would have been fun. It would have been in prime time because you had the Lakers and Celtics last year, but that was a day game, right?
Yeah, I think that was the 2:30 game. I'd have to check, but I think it was.
So last year you kind of blow the bunny, if you will, by having Lakers-Celtics in L.A., but during the day. But this year you realize you need your superstars in prime time. Why not pair up one of your historic superstars that goes beyond the game? I would have said it would have been best to have Steph Curry, right, going up against Jason Tatum. You would have the old versus the new in, you know, in San Francisco, and you would have a primetime game to watch, and this would be a replay of the 2022 NBA Finals. But look, there's nothing wrong with the Celtics 76ers, but putting that game on at 4 o'clock on Christmas Day up against football...
Celtics Lakers were 5 p.m.
5 p.m.
Year.
So we were off by an hour, right? So you played that game on the road in Los Angeles last year, but this year you're like, okay, we've got to play Warriors Lakers, which they play each other, what, 8-12 times in a season?
Feels that way.
Right. So why not have the Celtics featured? Like, and John and I, we've talked about this. The NBA, part of the reason why they're suffering the way they are is because they're not using the NBA champions from a historic team in a major television market as part of make them the bad guys.
And you could even make the case that kind of last year with Denver, they did that a little bit. And part of that, it's a West Coast team, but I felt like Denver last year was not on national TV as much as they could have been.
Well, but the other part of it is Denver a compelling basketball story? Like,
no, and I get what you're saying, but just
right,
the
like
defending
these are the
champs
Celtics,
aspect. Yeah.
Right, like these are the Celtics. They happen to be the world champions at this time. I don't have a problem if the Celtics to the rest of the country are the bad guys. Guess what the Celtics have been to the rest of the country all these years? The bad guy. So why not have these guys be played up as the bad guys? These are the new kids on the block. I hate to use that term. These are the new kids on the block with Tatum and Brown, and you've got an aging LeBron, an aging Steph. Can this guy knock these guys out? Plus what you have in Dallas. This is how you should use these guys, because you didn't see Oklahoma City on any games yesterday, did you?
No. Exactly. And that might be the best team in the NBA
Because it's still damn Oklahoma City. So that's the point. All right, KJ and Lions in for Jones and Keefe, 617-779-7937. We do Professional Lions next here on WEEI. Yeah, we can stop talking about the Christmas trees and get back to these trees, huh? It's KJ and Lions in for Jones and Keefe on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Jones and Keefe on a well-deserved vacation. John. It's kind of funny. I don't know if it's self-grandiosing or whatever, but I thank you. So I don't do podcasts. I kind of hide myself from other medias, if you will. Like sometimes people tap me on the shoulder, like, why aren't you on Twitter? Why aren't you tweeting more? I said, because have you seen the race baiting that's going on there? I get hit with bots every time I say, hello, my name is, to be like, oh, and what does your name have anything to do with it? You know, always bringing a name into the conversation. So
Twitter has gotten worse over the last year and a half. I don't know what changed with Twitter in the last year and a half. Does anybody know anything significant that changed?
You know what it is because people don't get punched in the face for saying this because nobody's saying it in anybody's face anymore.
Well, there's no accountability. Even like take the punch, and I'm not disagreeing, but like even on a place like Twitter, you don't actually have to even put your real name out there.
Right, you know exactly. I mean? So, you could be behind something like this is what, because I remember when they first introduced Twitter, right? The whole idea was they wanted to get like people like Oprah Winfrey, who had like a million fans. They wanted to be able to say, hey, you can get a message out to your fans. And then when Oprah wasn't using it and Ashton Kutcher was another one who wasn't using it, because I've had a Twitter account since like, oh gosh, is it, if it's 17, it's, I think it was in that first year. I was wondering what one of the first 100 or 200,000 people in there. Like, nobody was using it. So they're like, well, if the celebrities aren't using it, why don't we make people think that they are the celebrity and it can just be rage against the machine for everybody? And that's where it is now. So all the people that it was intended and purposes for who never used it, they're like, hey, now I can be the star since Oprah was, because it always used to fascinate. People would be up there, a million followers, follow nobody. Like, could you be... like, could you ignore people more than anything? There's a million people who want to hear what you say, but I don't want to have anything to hear what you, any of you, have to say. Like, is that not narcissism in a bottle or what?
Yeah, so if I ever get a million followers, don't worry, I'll still follow you.
Well, here's the crazy thing. Like, I'm one of the same thing with subscribers, and thanks for those who are watching us on Twitch at Boston WEEI.
Yeah, YouTube as well. Shout out to those folks.
Right, so, but here's the crazy thing. Like, subscribers used to mean you had to pay for something. Remember that? You used to subscribe to Sports Illustrated. Now it's like, hey, just click the like button and subscribe to my channel. I'd be like, okay, where's my damn money? Like, if you've got 2 million followers and you can't show me $2 million at the end of the month, you're wasting a lot of people's time.
And Bradfo and Fitzy were having this conversation when I was on my drive in, and I did find it interesting that if you really look at, say, YouTube numbers and video views, like the most popular TV shows in the world, or at least in the country, are actually just podcasts that get simulcasts on YouTube and things like Joe Rogan probably does similar numbers to shows on CBS or NBC. So, I mean, it is, I understand like that's a big part of it and it's interesting. I've just noticed that over the last year, year and a half, the anger and the terrible things said on Twitter, especially, or X now, has just gotten exponentially worse over the last year and a half or so.
Before we get to the call and then we'll get to Professor Lyons, can I give you like a little inside philosophy of what's coming down the pike? Because of being in this industry for a while, and you heard the podcast where someone, I was interviewed by an industry podcast.
That was a good episode, by the way.
And it kind of pretty much tells all of my DNA, which I kind of tend to hide from people, but it was a chance to kind of open up about my career. I'm not going to share the link here, but I will say what's coming down the pike.
That was good stuff.
Okay, well, thank you. Yeah. Here's what's
Can I give one little fun fact that I heard at the beginning?
Okay, what's that?
KJ's original career dream was to be a TV news reporter. Yeah, I thought that was cool. I was like, oh, that's pretty
cool. I thought I was going to be like the weather guy or maybe the local sports guy. Hi, KJ Carson here, live. Okay, I'm doing a bad job.
At least now during a hurricane, you don't have to go stand outside.
That's true. So, they would have never sent me on the Cape. What is he doing here? Yeah. So, look, what's going to come down the pike, and this is going to piss so many influencers off, right? Your TikToks, your Instagrams, they're going to pair up with these television networks. You remember the TV show America's Home, Funniest Home Videos?
Yeah.
Well, at the time, they used to have to pay you directly to have your home video. Well, now they can just go into the algorithms and see what are the most popular things that are showing up on TikTok or Instagram, and then replay these as television shows, package these to advertisers, get all the money from the advertiser, and you're going to be like, hey, how did my TikTok dance video end up on NBC and I didn't get any money for it?
Well, as you know, I'm not on Snapface and all that. So.
Yeah. Well,
neither
you're
am
gonna
I,
be,
actually.
You know, people are going to be worried about snapped faces when they find out, like, oh my gosh, this television show's winning Emmys based off of stuff that I created. Where's my money? And they'll say, well, your subscribers don't pay for any money. All right, let's go to Brandon in Boston. Thanks for calling Jones and Keefe. It's KJ and Lyons in. We've been talking Celtics. Brandon, thanks for the call and happy holidays.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call and happy holidays. So, yeah, Porzingis is a real issue. I think he should be coming off the bench. I don't think he should be starting at all. For me, I'm going to give you some names, and I want you to know. I want to know what you guys think. So, for me, I would target a guy like Larry Nance, a guy like Mo Bamba, or, you know, he's not playing right now, but I would give him a shot, DeMarcus Cousins. And another guy would be a sneaky good grab, and he's good for defense, would be Markelle Fultz. He had a defensive rating for 111, which is really good. And you put a guy like that with Drew Holiday under his tutelage, I mean, I think you'll definitely have a diamond in the rough. So those are some guys I would target, but I would definitely put Porzingis in bubble wrap. You need some guys that's going to step up. And, I mean, this guy, we should have maybe traded him after the championship. It probably would have looked dirty, but you see why this guy can't hold up. And I think he's going to be a big problem for the Celtics, man. He has a lot to do with our success, and without him, I think we're going to be in big trouble.
Brandon, thanks for the call. Like, maybe a Mason Plumlee, you go find him.
Like the Fultz thing, if I'm Orlando, I'm not letting that guy go.
No, because he's finally coming around for you and what you gave up to get him.
But that's why I mentioned, you know, early in the show, I was surprised we didn't see any of Tillman. In yesterday's game, as soon as Porzingis went out. Because, look, I disagree with the caller on wanting to trade a guy like Porzingis, because I think Porzingis, when he's going, is what takes the Celtics from being a great championship contender to the best team in the NBA.
It also doesn't make sense. He said the Celtics are bad when Porzingis is off the floor, so let's trade him away.
Yeah, well, and I also
that doesn't
think,
make
like,
any sense.
If you look back to, and I understand his point about like the health, and I agree with like KJ and maybe I, we talked about that.
Maybe
many
he's
times,
looking at the long term of it, right? You don't trade him after a year, but is this Porzingis conversation the same going to be
the
same
first guy to go
in 3 or 4 years, where it's going to be very hard to move him, right? Like, is he an asset that you can move in 3 or 4 years? Like, could he potentially end up being like the Trevor Story for the Celtics?
Well, and I think if you look at the Celtics, and I know this is getting ahead of things, but 3 years from now, you'll have Tatum, Brown, and Derek White, and I think two other new guys. Like, I think Holiday and Porzingis, those will be the guys
a year
or two from now, because Holiday's age and Porzingis' injury history. It's just unfortunate because, again, I maintain that the best the Celtics looked all of last year and maybe in the last 15 years was the game one NBA Finals minutes from Porzingis. Like, when he's out there, he takes them to a totally different level. It's just
his energy made that series a no-doubt situation.
And just his versatility. Like, what he does is they've never had a player like this ever. And I'm not saying he's the best player in Celtics history. That would be ridiculous. But just an elite post scorer who also shoots, you know, 30-foot threes at a 38% rate and is a good interior defender. They've never had a guy like there's not too many guys that exist like that. That's why they call him the unicorn.
By the way, Boogie Cousins is retired. He is nowhere close to an option.
Well, I don't want
to
sit here and totally just, you know, drop one down the city pipe on the caller what he was saying.
I get his point of saying that, look,
I think you have to get somebody in here. I don't think the backcourt is the issue, but the front court, because now maybe you're not seeing Tillman because the matchups are not favorable because he's a bit undersized. Like if Embiid was a outside shooter primarily, then maybe you can get Tillman out there to defend him on the perimeter.
And we even saw that last year in the playoffs where Cornette played quite a bit against Cleveland, and then against Indiana, he basically was a non-factor because of the way Indiana pushed the ball. It just didn't fit well with his style, and it worked, and it was fine. But you want, you just want to get to the playoffs with the starting five healthy. And if you get that and you can go from there, you'll be in great, you'll still be the best team in the NBA.
If you follow KJ and Lyons at all, when we're usually here, it's during the evening time. We're in for Jones and Keefe today. We'll be in for Jones and Keefe for the good portion of this
KJ
holiday break time.
Doc. That's what it usually is.
KJ after them all before he was married. But look, we do this thing called Professor Lyons, and if you're just joining us with this bit, you'll be shocked because John has questions. I have no idea what they are, but I think I have an average somewhere about 77%. I'm about a 77% person on this feature. So we present to you Professor Lyons. Hit it, Joe.
Just what in the hell do you think you're doing? Learning about Cuba, having some food.
John Kimball, new kindergarten teacher.
Who just wants to make out with me in the middle of class?
I've got a hangover. Who knows what that means?
Doesn't that mean you're drunk?
No, it means I was drunk yesterday.
All right, KJ, we've got five questions here. Three of them are true, false. The other two.
And I'm extremely tired. I was up at 2:00 this morning. All right, Johnson.
Yeah, it's a good thing you got a shipment of just grit and nails for Christmas, so you're tough enough for it. Listen, question number one. Peyton Pritchard in a shooting slump right now. He's shooting below 31% from three over the course of his last five games. KJ, has it been that bad?
Five games under 30%. from three or just overall?
The last five games, under 31% from three.
I'm going to say that's true because he was, I mean, he was cold yesterday.
It is really true, really including the 0 of 8 yesterday. That's what put him underneath.
Yes! All right, that's one.
Red Sox signed Walker Buehler. He ended the playoffs, KJ, true or false, with 13 consecutive scoreless innings pitched.
13 consecutive, and, that, and we're talking about the playoffs?
Yeah, so World Series back into the NLCS as well. 13 straight scoreless innings.
13 straight scoreless innings. Okay, so he closed that final appearance. Gosh, I just looked at those numbers of when he pitched the other games. I'm going to say false because a couple of times he was taken out, they were behind. So I'm going to say false.
It is actually true. 13 consecutive scoreless innings. He did have a couple starts earlier. Like he had one against the Padres where he gave up six runs.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
It started the playoffs with the Padres. Yeah. It was a disaster, and everything else was just off the hook.
And then he got much better. Yeah, a few of them were unearned. But anyways, question number three.
All right.
If you watched football yesterday, Lamar Jackson broke the record for most career rushing yards by a QB in his career. True or false?
That is true. He broke Michael Vick's record.
Yes, he now has 6,110 yards. That is correct, KJ.
Yeah, 2-1.
All right, so the true false, those are the easy ones for you, KJ. We're gonna
Here we come with the specific number stuff. Huh?
So the Celtics have lost two games in a row.
Yeah.
When was the last time they lost two games in a row?
Well, it wasn't this year, so it had to be sometime last year. It had to be when they lost to Atlanta in that back-to-back in Atlanta.
So it's actually false. They did lose back-to-back in Atlanta. It was April 9th and 11th last year, so you were close.
Stop lying.
The Atlanta back-to-back, I think, was late February, early March, but it was actually April 9th and 11th against the Knicks and the Bucks.
The Knicks and the Bucks. Oh, gosh, I don't even remember that.
Yeah, but they weren't playing all their stars.
Okay, this is the tiebreaker.
All right, last one here. Yesterday, if you weren't aware, was Christmas. When did Christmas?
Some places, yes.
Yes. When did Christmas become a federal holiday?
When did it become a federal holiday?
What year? Damn. Just give me the year.
Yeah. It's, I mean, there's plenty of years to pick from over the 250 something. Christmas became an official holiday in the United States. And knowing John a little bit, he's a bit of a history buff, so he wants to take it back to the 1800s. I'm going to say Christmas became an official holiday in 1825.
You have the right century, wrong year. 1870 was the last, was when Christmas.
So what's
became
my plus minus on the history of this country? Right. Plus or minus 20 years?
Yeah, you get 50. Within 50 years, you're good.
This might be the first time I'm underwater in this game, 2-3, so now probably knocking me down to about 70 percentile. And that is Professor Lyons. Next, we talk Red Sox. And what's the hang up with the Alex Bregman deal? Like, we got to talk about what the Red Sox still have to do. That's next here. KJ Lyons in for Jones and Keefe here on WEEI.